Hello, everyone. How are you? Welcome to How to Feel the Hard Stuff Without Eating. I'm Coach Kathy. It's good to see you. Hi, Stacy. How's everybody doing tonight? Good? Everybody good? It's an interesting time of year, don't you think? This time between the holidays. Colder, darker, takes more energy to feel energetic. Yeah, just for me anyway. I miss the sunshine. I did go out today, took a little walk. I know some of you have it much colder than I do, but it was 35 degrees and the wind was blowing, and I was not happy. I was not happy. But I was outside and I was taking my walk in the sunshine. And I need to do that more often. I need to find time to do that more often. Okay, so you can go ahead and raise your hand. I'll coach as many of you as I can, get done in around an hour or so. But as we get started, I promised in the Facebook group that I would talk a little bit about creating how you want to feel about 2026. So I heard Corinne talking on her call on Sunday, one of her calls on Sunday, I can't remember which, about how future self is her jam. Okay, some people get really excited when they start thinking about the future. And they do that because they feel safe about thinking about the future. They feel excited, hopeful, focused, empowered, confident. I took all these out of the Facebook posts that I did today. Okay. They feel like they know that every step they take, every thought they think creates their future. So they want to create it. They feel like I'm in control. They feel controlled. Right. But then the flip side of that is nervous, doubt, dread, fear, overwhelm, challenging. Pulled those out of the Facebook thread too. Those are not abnormal, y'all. Those are just protective mechanisms because that safety component may not be there for you just yet. And that's what I want to talk about. How do you create a little bit of safety in the uncertainty of thinking about your future self? Okay, how do you create a little bit of safety as you think about the uncertainty of the future? Because really and truly, none of us know what the future is going to bring. None of us know what 2026 is going to be. But what we do know is that we have created today, right now, this very moment, 5:04 p.m. on December 30th, 2025, based on all of our thoughts, feelings, actions that have led up to today. So if you think about today as yesterday's future self, you've created her. You are her. Which means what you think, how you feel, the steps you take, the safety you create, the person that you decide to be is created every time you make a choice going forward and how you think about that choice. Isn't that cool to think that you can craft your own path? Now, of course, we're going to get obstacles, we're going to have detours, we're going to have roadblocks. But that's all part of the process, right? We had them coming up to today too, right? So Stacy said, what do you do about things you can't control? Those are the obstacles, the roadblocks. So this is what I'm going to teach you, okay? You're in a protective mode. You're not thinking about the future. You're not wanting to think about the future when you have nervous doubt, dread, fear, overwhelm, those kind of feelings, right? You're protecting yourself from, dreaming, taking a risk, thinking about what it could be like, because you're blocked with uncertainty. You feel safe when you think to yourself, I know it's uncertain, but I'm going to do the best I can to figure it out, which you've done up to now because you're on this call. You're listening to this replay, right? You figured it out up to now. So you look for the evidence. Do you or have you done these things? Do you believe or do you have evidence that you can figure these things out? I'm going to say yes, because you've made it to today. Do you believe or do you have evidence that you can take a step forward? Again, I'm going to say yes, because today is yesterday's future self, right? Do you believe or do you have evidence that you can try something new or you can pivot or you can work your way around a roadblock? Yeah. So if you think about it from those terms, looking at 2026, you can experience the uncertainty, but you can also create a little safety around how you want to go into 2026, what you want to think about for 2026, and what you want to plan for. Okay. And y'all know I'm all about safety. Safety, you know, we have empirical safety, like I'm safe right here in this room, right? There's nobody, nobody at the door with a machete. The house isn't on fire. No tornadoes coming. I'm safe. But I need to feel safe in order to have the confidence and the faith in myself and the trust in myself to know I can pivot, I can figure things out, in order to have that belief in myself. And I do that. Y'all, I'm big on the hands on the heart. Feels so good to me. If it doesn't to you, that's okay. Feels good to me. Taking a deep breath and saying those things. I know I can figure this out. I know I can pivot. I know I have a support system. I know I have no BS to tell me I'm going to be okay. You know, I know that I can create this. So that's what I want you to think about. When you think about 2026, whether you're someone who's dealt with cancer in 2025, someone who's grieving a loved one, someone who's been sick, someone who's lost a job, you've made it to today. You have traversed that road and survived it. So I bet whatever roads are given to you coming up in 2026, you will also traverse and take one step at a time to figure out how you want to manage them. That makes sense? Y'all with me? Thumbs up? Anything? That's what I got for you. I was really thinking about that a lot today. I was thinking about that a lot. Awesome. 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 Okay. So let's get to coaching. Let's get to coaching. Janet says, what's the saying? You've survived 100% of your bad day. Yeah. You're here. Must be doing something okay, right? All right. Oh, Lindsay Slater. Let's do you first. Lindsay Slater. I've got three hands raised. I think we can get to all of them. We're going to go with Lindsay.
There it goes.
Hello.
Hey,
I'm so
Coach
glad to see
Kathy.
you here. Makes me happy.
It makes me happy to see you too.
All right.
So, I mean, I thought I would just come on and I did my list today about what's good about my well, I mean, you were talking about changes in 2025. I've had a job loss.
I was hoping you would kind of recap for everybody. You don't have to go down the long, winding
I don't
road.
want to because
Give us the, do you remember the Reader's Digest condensed books?
yes,
Give us
right.
that version. Okay.
So I had a job loss, and actually my last day was today. So I have secured a another position, but I'm kind of having a feeling like it's a it's sort of a consolation prize just because it wasn't what was in my mind as was going to be The thing that I think I do live a lot in the future and plan stuff out, and I always have a plan in my head. And so when things don't go quite as planned, that is what gets me in a space of, I guess, being out of, just below home base, or well, or above. Probably I'm more above, actually, because I get more anxious than I do, like depressed or anything like that.
I bet you experienced both over the past few weeks. I
Yeah,
bet you've experienced that.
yes, I have, because I've been hurt and all those things too. But for everybody, I've been corresponding with Coach Kathy since I had a call with Corinne back in November. And so one of the things that I was going to do today was to write down like why this new position could be a good thing for me. And I had shared that I was feeling kind of resigned. And you mentioned that not being a bad thing. But I also want to make sure that I show up as my best self for the new position, because there are a lot of good things about it. And so I guess that's why I got on, because I made my list today. And I think I believe most of them. But I also kept thinking, like, oh, I should put more things down. There's got to be more reasons. So that's kind of where I am tonight.
Right, tell me the question again that I gave you. Tell me the question again
It was
that I gave you to
basically
work on.
like why this position could actually be a good thing, and how I can move, forward with, I guess, accepting that this is what I'm doing now. So.
So Coach Betsy often asks, and asks me very often, how, why did this happen for me? And I think that's the, that's kind of where we went with this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's hear it.
So, the things I wrote down is like I already know everyone that I'm going to be working with. I enjoy working with them. I get to stay connected with some of the previous work that I was doing. I believe in the mission of the organization, and I'm proud of the work that I've seen come out of the group. I believe in the work that they do. I wrote that I would have an income. I wrote that I would be doing work with people that I enjoy, with people that I like. I wrote that I would be part of a strong team, that I would have an opportunity to get to continue to strengthen my coaching skills, and that I would also get back to seeing students more often. I wrote that since I'm starting this new position, I was technically never unemployed. And that I'm hopeful that I'll continue to make a difference. And I will feel like I have some value related to my work again.
So, which of those don't feel believable?
I don't know that any don't really feel believable. I think the thing that keeps coming up for me is unfair. And also, I don't know, there's a bit of me where this position is definitely a step backwards. And so I think that there's just a little bit of ego in there, probably. Not enough to make me feel like I can't do it, and I didn't write this down. Well, I guess I wrote it down. I didn't really say it, but like I think that there'll be less drama for me with work in this position because I'm not in a position of leadership. I mean, at least formal position of leadership. So doesn't mean I can't still be a leader. So
True.
yeah.
So let's talk about the unfair piece first. What if I just give it to you? Okay, Lindsay, past that conversation, that initial conversation, everything that happened, unfair.
Yeah.
Okay, what happens then?
Well, I can't change it, so nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't change it. But if you just sometimes, if you just give yourself that emotion, there's
Yeah.
like, oh, okay, I don't have to fight that one anymore.
Yeah.
All right. So it was unfair. It kind of takes the, it can, if you just give it to yourself, sometimes it takes the sting out of it.
Yeah.
Does it do that for you? If I just say, okay, stinks, unfair.
Yeah, it does. 'Cause it, I mean it, you guys have talked about like, could you prove it or not? Yeah, I could prove it if I had told 10 people or whatever. Yeah. So
Does it matter? Does it matter if you can prove it?
I, the only thing that I think, the one reason I think I'm holding on to it too is because I didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, that's
And
good.
that, and that's like that part I think is hard for me because I didn't do anything
Would it
wrong.
have been easier if you had made a mistake?
I probably would beat myself up more, honestly, if I had made
Right.
a mistake.
Right.
So,
Right.
yeah.
So you can waltz your way out that door today going, I was exactly who I wanted to be in this job.
And I have written about that, and I have decided I am absolutely who I wanted to be. Yeah.
Yeah. And there is some relief in that too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure.
So we can go back to things didn't work out like I thought they ought to.
Right.
I can even call it unfair,
Yeah.
and I can leave it at the door.
Yeah.
That's a much more empowered way to think about it, even amidst the feeling of unfair.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about the step backwards. Is that also unfair?
No, I don't see it that way.
Tell me how you see that.
I guess I just I think I'm I think my skills are better than the position or whatever, but I don't, but I'm also not planning to walk into it with that attitude. Like I always believe that there's things I can learn in any situation. So, but when I just think about the day-to-day work, it will be similar to what I did about 10 or 11 years ago. And that's the only thing. And I guess that's the leadership part of it that's different. So, because this part has had remained part of my job, I'll just be doing that more exclusively than the other part versus like a 50-50.
Yeah.
So it, and it's not that like I'm not I don't know. I mean I don't not embarrassed or anything. And I haven't had trouble telling people. But there's just part of me that just feels kind of like, oh, you know. So, which I think is probably totally normal. So,
It's your brain adapting to a change, trying to
yeah.
make sense of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many of you all know this, but about 2.5 years ago, I went from a leadership position in no BS back to being a coach,
Yeah.
like a decision maker, executor kind of job behind the scenes, back to the front line. And I went through so many of the same way of thinking. You know, I've got skills that aren't being used. I can organize like nobody's business. I'm a
Yeah.
process person, right? I'm analytical. I can use a 10 key, right? You know, remember the old 10 key conversation. But what's interesting is I chose, well, Corinne and I chose together. You know, I was getting ready to ask her, and she was getting ready to ask me, do you want to take one of these coaching roles? Because it turned out to I maybe it was me working on that future self. I don't know. Maybe it was the stress I was under. Maybe it was the drama. I don't know. But I went through a period where I was like, I feel like I don't know anything anymore. I'm not in leadership. I'm not a decision maker. They're telling me, do this, do this, do this, which felt good because I didn't have to figure out what I was doing. But there was this transition piece. But after a couple of months and me settling into, what I was doing, I realized that that person that got on that Zoom call with Corinne that day and said, I want to go back to coaching, was now creating that future self. And I, please don't ask me to go back. This is exactly where I need to be. So this could be a transitional role for you, but it could also be an identification role. You're trying something out that's new, that's different, that may or may not be suited to everything you know, but may give you an opportunity to learn new things. When I came back to coaching, I had no idea I was going to do feelings and nervous system and all that kind of stuff. But it fits. And I would not have found that fit if I hadn't had that big detour in my life. So that's another way this could be for you, is it's helping you create a different, a nuanced future Lindsay. That makes sense?
It does. I mean, exactly what you said totally resonates with me because, and I think I was always problem solving. I was always making decisions. I was always supporting people. I'll still be supporting people, but I won't be making decisions, which again, I've sort of resigned myself to the fact of that because I have thought about, I previously was an advisor to the folks that I'm going to be working with, and I will be like, much, and I don't want to be in where they are, but I mean, I'll be much further down on their hierarchy in terms of who I was interacting with previously, if that makes sense. And I don't
Yeah, totally
expect,
get it.
yeah, and I don't expect to go there and have those same interactions. But there's, so that part for sure. The but is that, is exactly what you said with the just, it's just a total change in the role and how I, because I am a good problem solver. I am all those, I don't know how to use a 10 key, but I am very good at organizing
I bet
and
you can
very
figure it out.
much, and very strategic and very process oriented and all that. So,
Well, I would offer to you that those skills don't go untapped. That in the role that you're in now, you'll start seeing process problems. You'll start seeing places to find efficiencies. You'll start seeing, and in doing in that old, the impact of the old role will still be there, but in the new role, you're going to be able to bounce information back up that's going to be valuable. That's what I've noticed, is that
Well,
I'm able to send back up the chain, hey, this doesn't make sense, or this process is really wonky, or do you remember that we have this over here? And that's really helpful, to those people that are trying to manage all that from the back end.
And I do have a relationship with them of giving feedback, and it's been reciprocal and really positive, which is why I know I'm coming on. But I think the and I think I can give feedback, but there was something else you said, and I wanted to, now I kind of lost it. I think part of me, I go 110,000% into a job, and I think that I don't know that dance yet. Like, I can't figure out, will I be someone who will be in and and all in and trying to improve things, or will I just want to stay and kind of stay in my lane and be comfortable with that? I think that's the other part that's sort of like I'm unsure about, and I don't know.
So here's what I would do with that, Lindsay. I decide on day one, this is the person I'm going to be, and let it evolve. Because I bet you're going to go 110% in doing what they ask you to do at first, and then it will evolve. I think it'll probably be a combo package, right? Because if you have that kind of work ethic, then you're going to take that work ethic. If they hired you back to clean toilets, you would take that work ethic back to clean toilets.
Yeah, I would.
Okay. So give yourself that gift to live up to the authenticity that you bring when you bring in when you go to work, you know, the person that you are. Okay.
Well, and part of me feels burned in this previous situation by giving all of that and it in the end not mattering one bit. So that's the other piece. It's sort of like protecting myself, like how, because I don't know if I can do a job at whatever my, I don't know, 100%
But were
is,
you
or
doing it for them, or were you doing it because that's the person that you are?
well, I was doing it for my team
Okay.
because I felt that they deserved to have clarity and be
Yeah.
supported.
Because
And
that's the person that you are. You're
yeah,
not some deadbeat boss, right?
no.
So don't change the person that you are.
Yeah.
You know, because if you go in there and you're like, I don't give a flying flip with these people, you know, if these
Yeah,
people
no,
have what they need, that's
that's
not
not
going
ever
to be
gonna
you.
be me.
No, right?
No, yeah.
I mean, there is some part of us that likes to go in and likes to be appreciated and likes to be seen and all that kind of stuff, but it's that core piece of us that we have to keep intact in order to feel good about what we're doing, in order to feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be, to use your word, you don't want to be unfair to her.
Right.
Okay? Just because you feel like you weren't treated fairly by those that didn't reciprocate, you want to still be authentically you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to feel good about yourself.
And I also want to be flexible enough. I mean, flexibility is something I really have to work on. I feel like I present that way in a calm, but in a calm way as well. But those aren't necessarily like I aren't necessarily my first. You know, I can get pretty like excited about things and animated and all that kind of stuff. And so, and I've gotten feedback that always isn't always positive for that. So I don't always show that side of me in the workplace because, you know, I just, so I think that, but the reason I brought up the flexibility piece is because I really don't know what I'm going to be doing exactly. I mean, I do, but generally, but not specifically. And so I think that's the other piece for me is like the unknown. And I just have to trust that it's going to be fine and all work out and
And
that.
that you can figure out whatever it is they give you to do.
And I will 100% do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm just like, why? I just want to shut it all down. Like, I mean, if I could, you know, for the next week, I don't have to work the rest of this week. I start the new job on Monday. I would just love some peace for the rest of this week and not have to be thinking about it. My
Here's what I
brain.
want you to do. This is your next thing, okay?
Okay.
I want you to come up with 3 to 5 very short affirming sentences. Something like, I am safe. I can figure this out. I'm going to be true to the person I am. You know, those are some of the things that we've talked about. I want you to come up with your own that are almost like those safety cues you can give yourself. With your hand on your heart while you're taking a deep breath, that remind you of who you are and who you want to be when you go into work on Monday. And I want you to practice them. Okay.
Like when a thought, just when a thought comes up.
Yeah.
Okay.
When a thought comes up, just say, okay, I hear it, but you know what? I know I can figure this out. I know I'm flexible. I know I can learn.
Yeah. Well, and part of the reason why with this position too, I mean, there really isn't going to be any learning curve. I mean, I've been working with these folks a long time. I know all their goals. I know their systems. I, you know, so Like there really isn't going to be a learning curve, and I just seem like I mean, I know you've talked about the waves, and I feel like I'm in another one of those, like, and I think probably because, I said goodbye to some people yesterday. That was really emotional. And so I just, today it's kind of carried on a little bit more. So,
So I can tell your energy is up.
yeah, it is.
Yeah. So this is what I've told you to do should help you bring it down just a little bit. Also, a nice hot shower, or if you have a hot tub, get in your hot tub or something like that will also give you some clarity. And I want you to, if you get in the shower, I want you to picture all the muck of yesterday going down the drain. Okay, all the anxiety, all the extra energy, it's going to wash right off and down the drain.
Well, it's funny that you say that because yesterday, as I was leaving the office, I was like imagining like all this stuff falling off of me as
Yeah,
I was
shedding.
going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Shedding.
So,
The more
yeah.
you can visualize, I mean, it might sound a little hokey, let's just be honest, but
That's
the more you
okay.
can visualize something like that,
Yeah.
the more you actually bring it into fruition. Your brain is very, very powerful. So deep breaths, affirming thoughts that you believe about yourself. I don't want you going in there going, I'm the best thing ever, And maybe you believe that, but nothing pie in the sky. And then write me back and tell me what you've come up with. Okay. And how you're going to, when you feel yourself getting wound up this week, how you're going to bring yourself just down just a little bit. Okay. And we can work on that next. Sound good?
Yes, thank you very
I'm
much.
so glad you raised your hand tonight.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really good to catch up.
I appreciate it. Thank
All
you.
right. All right. See ya.
Bye.
Okay. Now we have more hands raised. So let's roll. Laura Gary, you're next. Hey there.
Well, hi, Miss Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So I was listening to that call, and a lot of the stuff that you were saying on that, I think might apply to myself.
Awesome.
I am trying to pull up my discovery sheet.
Okay.
So here we go. So I had an overeat the other day at work, and it was a really unusual one for me. I thought, I didn't see it coming. There wasn't any like it was almost like a very intense fog eat. Like it was just like I was just eating all the stuff, and then afterwards I was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
So I did a discovery sheet, and what I think I realized was that so I was at work and I was talking with some coworkers about some stuff, and it was really great. It was really great, like exciting things that I have coming up for the new year, things that are planned, things that are going, like just really, really, really great things. And I was super jazzed about it. I mean, I was just going 90 to nothing, honestly. And then afterwards, it was like, oh, okay, kind of settled. And I was like, oh, okay, I think I'm gonna go to lunch now. And I had my planned stuff that I brought. So I think looking back on it that I was just really above home base.
Well, yeah, sometimes that when you get excited, you get extra energy in your body, right? When you
And I
get
was just,
excited and anxious feel a lot the same in your body, if you think about it. So yeah, you were probably a little bit above home base, sure.
And I don't know if that's the first time that I've realized if I consciously was eating to get back to get back to home base. Like that,
So
it was like, oh, I've got my food, and this is okay, this is great, this is good, but let me eat more until I got myself settled down. And
You've given me an amazing teaching moment. Okay. There's a nervous system state. Everybody knows about fight and flight, right? That's when you're way above home base and you're either fighting back because you feel unsafe or you're running away or something like that. There is a nervous system state called performance mode, okay, which is not at home base, it's above home base, but it's wrapped in safety. Okay. So when you're at work And you've got all this, like I am right now, got all this energy. I'm really going, blah, 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 right? I'm not unsafe, but I'm above home base.
Right.
All right. So when I turn this call off, what's going to happen to me? My energy is going to go whoosh right through home base to a little bit below home base. And I'm going to be like, whew, that call's over. Right?
Right.
I'm going to lose some of that energy and I'm going to lose it pretty fast.
Okay.
That's probably what you experienced after that meeting is you had that whoosh and then you started to eat along with the whoosh. Right? Next
Yeah.
time, I want you to just feel the whoosh because
Okay.
there's another place a little bit below home base that's a lot like performance mode called rest mode or stillness, which is lower energy but still safe.
Okay.
So that's probably what happened. Is that you just did the whoosh right through home base to a little bit below home base, and your natural inclination was to eat.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
notice it next time. Notice the energy change.
Okay.
That can be the fun piece of it, is to notice the energy change in your body.
Okay. Okay. And then after noticing, just feel it through. Just feel
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, just go. I'm in rest mode. You know what? That meeting was tiring. I used up a lot of energy during that meeting.
Yeah. That was exciting. It was
I'm
exciting.
gonna
Yeah.
need to rest for a minute so that my energy replenishes. A home base is a beautiful place, right? It's this little box. It's this little box in which we live. It's a zone of resilience. We don't always, the goal isn't always to be at home base. It's to go in and out with ease. Right?
Yeah.
It's to go in and out with ease. So when you have a time when you're a little bit above home base, sometimes your system is going to auto-correct to a little bit below home base and it's going to bounce back in.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And what you did is you just coupled it with, whew, that's over. I need a snack. Right? When
Yeah.
truly, and that's what a lot of us do, right? And truly, if you just notice the energy shift, you could be real curious about it. And see, just be kind of fascinated with how your nervous system's working.
Right. I mean, and I was hungry. Like I really was hungry when I checked in. I was like, okay, I just kept eating. I just kept eating. And the thing that I'm not going to say concerned me, but put me on alert was, I know that I'm going to have more moments like this. This is really exciting things that I have coming up, and I'm going to have more moments of this where I am like really high and really like going and excited and loving what I'm doing and really going after it. And then it's going to stop. And I don't, this isn't how I want to handle it.
So, if you put in that pause and you notice
Right.
the energy in your body, then you can tell yourself, okay, I am hungry, but I'm also going to honor the hunger and taste my food and be with my food and not fog eat through it.
Okay.
Okay? It becomes a more intentional way of eating rather than just coupled with the whoosh.
Okay.
Okay?
So pay attention to the whoosh.
Watch for the whoosh. I bet you everybody on this call can identify with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you're a teacher, you got to whoosh right after school. If you work a 9 to 5, you probably got to whoosh. That's just what I call it. It's a very technical term.
It's actually pretty accurate,
My
though.
technical term.
It is pretty accurate. And tell me again, you were saying, so it's like, so home base, I'm above home base, and
You're a
we're no,
little bit. So
and you
if you think
said
about,
the
if you
fight.
think about home base being way up here when you're fight and flight, you're not that
Right.
far up. You're a little bit above home base. You have
Right.
extra energy,
And then you
but
said
it's
the other was the rest mode, where it's
or
you're still
stillness. You could call
safe,
it rest
stillness,
or stillness.
right?
Feel
And you're
safe,
still safe,
but
but it's
lower
a little
energy.
below. It's a little below, but I'm still safe. And I think that might be the key point that I need to, because oh, this is it, Kathy. Oh, you're speaking to me.
They call it a
But
combo, a combination state, because it's above home base combined with safety
right.
and
And
below home base combined with safety.
I think afterwards, which probably was like, oh, I got to do a discovery sheet on this, was that it startled me that it didn't feel safe. It startled me that it didn't feel safe because I was just eating. Like, but had I not, but you're absolutely right, had I not eaten, or if I'd have just had my planned meal and ate at enough, then it I mean, eventually would have regulated out, but I could have recognized you're still like you're safe. Like
Yes,
nothing
because
has
you're still
gone
going to
wrong
love him.
here.
Yes,
You're
yes.
safe. So it's just a little below.
You probably were feeling a little safe, but your brain couldn't connect it. Couldn't, you know, that it's like, I shouldn't feel safe right now. I should just eat because this whoosh, I don't understand what it is. Now you know.
Oh, that's you're right. Now I know, and now I really can
Good
get
stuff.
curious about it. I can feel it and just be like, oh, this is that. I'm safe. I'm fine. Take the break and then either just eat normal and know that I'm going to regulate up or take a little bit more of a pause. Because I did, I mean, I don't know. I kind of just said like be aware, mindful, understand what's happening, like understand what is happening here, that I was a little bit above.
Watch the energy shift. It's really fun to watch the energy shift in your body. Okay.
I like it. Thank you.
All right. See ya. Cool. All right. Liz, you're next. Well, hello.
Hi, how
It's
are
you,
you?
Liz.
It is me.
How are you?
I'm turning.
I think you've lost more weight since I saw you last. Okay.
I have. My body's definitely recomping for sure. But yeah, when I look at myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy.
What you got?
So, I'm in all the feels. I went earlier and bought a bunch of food. And I ate some, and then I told myself I wasn't going to eat anymore. I'm really sad. It's coming up on a year of my stepdad passing on the first. And I'm scared. My cat has to have surgery, and I have a lot of stuff to do. And I'm just trying to take it all just one thing at a time. And I don't want to get off this call and go eat. So I'm like, well, get on the call and say how you're feeling.
So, your stepdad, it's been a year. Why don't we just give it to you that it's hard, Liz? You miss him. You're supposed to miss him because you care about him, right? Sometimes, you know, I used to tell people, I used to minimize dates. So you don't miss him any more on January 1st than you do any other day, but I don't think that's true. I think the date triggers emotion, right? It does for me. November 29th, that's my dad's day. Actually, and it's funny, I don't really think about the day so much as I think about it being Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. So there is an association that we have with a loss that triggers emotion. Okay. So, how do you, I mean, do you want to feel this emotion? Do you want to feel sad that he's gone?
I do. I think I've just been in survival mode this whole year. Just like, my stepdad died and then being there to help my mom because I'm, my mom's only child. And then working and then my coworker dying like 2 weeks later and just a lot of stuff. And I just was like, just head down, move forward. And I don't think I've really processed a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so let's do this. Tell me when you think about missing your stepdad, tell me where it shows up in your body.
I feel it like here.
What's it feel like right there?
Just feels like sadness.
Does it feel like a knot? Does it feel like heavy? Does it feel like you have like a sandbag?
Yeah, it feels heavy.
How do your shoulders feel?
Guess they don't feel that, they just kind of feel here.
Okay. Anything in your gut?
My gut's always tight, so yeah.
Anything in your, cross your eyebrows, cross your sinuses, head, top of your head, neck. So the grief for you just lands right here. What if you take a deep breath and you send some light into that place? Or maybe you picture you and him together. And just send that into that place. Does that lift it or does it make it feel heavier?
I don't feel that it makes it feel heavier. Just like thinking of like trips that we went on and just stuff like that.
We want to keep the memories, right? Because that's where the love is. That's where we feel the love. It's funny how, I have, when I think about my dad, I have more memories of him being funny. He was a goof. My dad was a goof. Than I do of, when he would yell at me as a kid. I guess he did. I just don't remember those times. I remember the times that feel good to me because those are the memories, I guess, because those are the memories I want to keep.
Yeah.
Right? So, as you feel the grief, make sure you are entangling it with the memories that you want to keep. Okay. And that just kind of helps you form this future relationship that you have with him because you still have a relationship with him, right? Based on what you think about him.
Yeah.
You're probably right. You probably haven't done a lot of grief processing. If you were in action all the time taking care of other people.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it was like this and just so much going on, and I just am like having some downtime and I'm just like, holy shit. Like, I mean, there's still things from like years ago I haven't even processed, and so just
What if you were to write him a letter, a different letter every day? If there's lots of things to be processed, maybe you make a list of four or five of them and just write him a letter about him. I'm a big fan of writing letters. I think it really helps me express what it is I want them to know, what it is I want them to hear. And if I write it down, it's like clearing out the cobwebs of my brain. So maybe you try that too. That help?
I'm just sad. I feel very overwhelmed.
What's overwhelming you?
I think just all the other stuff I gotta do in my life, and I'm just like, I don't have time to grieve.
Well, what happens to unprocessed grief, Liz? Does it go away?
It doesn't.
No. Kind of pops up when you least expect it, too.
Yeah. And it comes out in all different ways, right? It's not just the sadness, it's control, it's getting mad, it's isolating. I know that it comes out in all different kinds of ways. And
Eating.
eating,
Yeah.
lots of eating, lots of eating.
What you want to do with grief or with any emotion that's difficult to feel is you want to actually spend time with it and get to know it and get to feel it. Otherwise, if you're like over focused on it, or if you're ignoring it, or if you're not doing anything with it, it doesn't resolve. It doesn't, it just, it's like that beach ball, right? Like shoving the beach ball under the water. It takes effort to hold it down. And then when you turn your back on it, it's popping up all over the place. But if you let it just kind of ride along the water, you've heard that, I know you've heard this analogy a million times, but if you let it ride along the water, you understand it, you acknowledge it, you don't get mad at it, you just let it be there, then it's much more likely to be tolerable. If it just kind of like sits in the chair with you. Yeah, it's going to be here. January 1st is coming. It's in 2 days. January 1st is here.
I know.
Be right here with me. What if you I don't know. I picture it like a teddy bear sitting with me. What if you just got something and sat it in the chair with you and just patted it on the head now and then? Said, I see you. I hear you. I know you're here. Almost like personifying it. Create an object around it. That might help as well. Might help you be okay with it being there. Because, if you have, I don't know why I thought of a teddy bear, but if you have a teddy bear in the room, it's not doing anything to you. It's just there.
I can do that. As we're talking though, I'm getting like this pain in my face right here, which I just find it interesting. So, but yeah, I just also just wanted to like also kind of be proud of myself for not eating and actually jumping on to talk and not eating my feelings the whole year either.
Yeah, you've done amazing work this year. You really, really have. And getting on this call and seeking support, 100%, 100%. It's what you needed.
I did. So thank you.
So tell me what the plan is after you get off the call. After I take you down to attendee, what's going to be Liz's next step?
I'm just going to sit here and listen to the rest of the call and probably just cry.
Okay. Yeah. That's allowing yourself to feel. It's the physical, the tears are the physical emergence of the grief.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Could probably go pet my cat and just.
Pet your cat. Wash your face when you're done.
Yeah.
Put a warm rag, whatever it is. Okay.
Okay.
We
Thank you.
got you. We got you, girl.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Okay, Brandy. Brandy Hellman.
I'm not sure how to add the video.
Is your camera covered?
No. There's
Okay.
like an exclamation mark by it, like enable camera access for Zoom under privacy and security.
Oh, yeah, that's in the settings of your computer. Do you want to just talk to me?
Sure.
Or do you want to go back out, change your settings, and come back in? Your choice.
It's okay. We can just talk.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been here since 2021. I've never like been coached or anything. I just kind of been in the background listening and reading everybody else's stories. But I posted something that on Christmas Eve about opening a present that I got for my son. So I'm just having a hard time thinking about the future just because I had to leave my marriage. No, I didn't want to, but I kind of had to for safety reasons.
Okay. Tell me, I didn't catch what you said about, did you say opening a present for your son?
Yeah, I have three adult children, and I moved out like a year ago this last October, and last year my son came for Christmas, and we got to get together, and then I knew that was like the last Christmas, and so this year we drew names, and my son got me, and so he sent me a present, and I just looked at it all day on Christmas Eve, and I didn't know if I should open it by myself or, but I ended up going to my daughter's. I went to go to my daughter's and opening it there, but that's not, I just can't really think of the future, I guess. It's hard to
Okay.
think about
So
the future.
a year ago, could you think about the future?
No, I just had a snow day one day at school and I just packed up my stuff and got out just because I
Right.
had to. Yeah.
Right. So I want to offer you this, Brandy, and everyone on this call. The person that goes to bed tonight is your future self from right now. The person that gets up tomorrow morning, that's in the future. Sometimes it's hard for us to think long term in the future, but we can think short term. Okay, so I know my future self when I get off this call is going to go downstairs and have dinner. Well, actually, I may go to put my pajamas on first, then go downstairs and have dinner and watch TV until bedtime. That's what my future self is going to do. My tomorrow future self is going to get up. I can't remember when my calls start. Probably, I don't think my calls start until about 1 o'clock tomorrow. So I'm going to do some other work, some Ask Coaches. So I pretty much know the bones of what my future self is going to do tonight and tomorrow. Now, that's not to say that, I might decide not to put on my pajamas. I might get sick overnight and have to pivot, right? But I know how to create what I need to do and what feels safe to me in the short term. Do you think you can do that for yourself in the short term?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because as I said, I don't know if you were here at the very beginning of the call, the person you are today has been created by every little bitty action you have taken in your life prior to today. And today, you are a year ago's future self, and you are yesterday's future self. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's just so many decisions I need to make. They're overwhelming. So I kind of just freeze and don't make any of them. So
Right. Well,
that
okay.
doesn't
So,
help. Yeah.
So freeze is goes a lot with overwhelm, right? So the way you get out of overwhelm is you make one small decision. So all these decisions you have to make, is there one decision that you can make of all of them?
I don't know.
Okay. Give me an example of a few of the decisions you have to make that you're having trouble making.
Well, I need to file for divorce because I've been, I just feel bad though because he doesn't have health insurance because he's self-employed and I have the insurance and I'm
Okay.
out to give half my retirement. All that stuff's just.
All right. Why do you need to file for divorce?
I don't know. I think I'm worried that. We have a house together and I'm paying for rent. And I did pay for half the house payment. I stayed with my sister for like 7 months, but I got my own place. And so I can't afford to pay half the house payment. So I'm worried I'm going to lose that if I'm not, if it keeps going on and he's the only one paying it.
Okay. Why does it matter to you that he doesn't have access to health insurance? Isn't that his issue?
I don't know. I just feel bad. I think because he would tell me that, He's in my head a lot still. I replay
Right. Well,
things he said.
okay.
Yeah.
Then that's what I wanted to point out to you, right? He's in your head. Who
Yeah.
does Brandy need to be? Brandy needs, but you just told me Brandy's paying too much in rent or half the mortgage or both,
I
right?
was until I got my own place, but my rent is pretty high and there's nothing. I live in Alaska. It's pretty expensive in Anchorage, so rent is high, and so I can't afford to pay for half the house payment anymore, so I'm just worried about it.
So if you think about, if you narrow back into what does Brandy need, not what does husband need. I don't even know his name.
Yeah.
All right. What does
Jamie.
Brand, I'm sorry, what?
Jamie is his name.
Jamie. Okay. So if you have separated from him to create safety for yourself, we need to focus on your safety, whether it's emotional, financial, physical safety.
Yeah.
And not his safety. You can take care of him after you've taken care of you if you still want to. But you need to be your number one
Yeah,
in
I
your
don't think
life.
I've ever done that.
Right. So if you, let's just play for a minute, okay? If you decided to look at what Brandy needs first, would the decisions start lining up a little bit easier?
Yeah, probably. I just don't know how to do that.
I mean, I guess I did. I did pack up my stuff and left, but
Right. That
I'm
goes back
taking
to,
steps.
right. That goes back to what I was saying earlier in the call too. Do you believe or have evidence that you can take care of you? Yes. You have very strong evidence that you can take care of you because you got out of a relationship or you separated yourself from a relationship where you didn't feel safe. Right? So now the next part of this is reminding yourself that you are continuing to work on your own safety, whether it's financial, emotional, physical, whatever kind of safety it is that you need to address is what your first priority has to be. Without safety, Brandy, we can't make good logical decisions. You know, we're in survival mode. And we freeze without safety. So you have to work on safety first. Okay. And you do that by managing the energy in your body, taking deep breaths, telling yourself you can figure it out, deciding what that next logical decision or step is for you and not for anybody else at this point. You don't need to create safety for Jamie. You need to create it for you. Does that make sense? Wish I could see you. What are you thinking? How are you
Yeah,
feeling?
sorry, I can't. I don't know what I
It's okay.
did.
What do you
Something
tell
kept
me
on
what
there.
you're thinking and how you're feeling?
I don't know. I know that I've, like what you were saying earlier, I heard that, you've kind of survived all the tough times so far. You've proved that you can do it, kind of thing, but it's just scary. I've never lived alone. We met when I was 17 or married for 32 years, so just
Didn't
very
you
lonely.
tell me you left him over a year ago?
Yeah, I moved in, but we yeah, I did. I moved into my sister's, it was October, the end of October a year
Okay.
ago.
Okay. Are
Yeah.
you living alone now?
Yeah, I got my own place in July.
Oh, so you have lived alone. Yeah. Sometimes our brains, here's what happens. When we don't feel safe, our brains look for danger. Okay? If you think of two opposite things, right? Safety and danger. So we can use the word danger, we can use the word threat. Let's use the word threat. Okay? So when we don't feel safe, our brains are like, we've got a problem. There's got to be a threat out there. So let's look for it. Let's find it. Okay? And so the threat your brain just gave me was I've never lived alone because that safety component wasn't there yet. But you have been living alone for the past 6 months. And you must be doing okay because you're here. You must be fairly safe because you're on this call.
Yeah, I'm doing okay because I'm in September, I went to see my therapist again because I was really down. I didn't care about anything. I wasn't doing laundry or dishes or cleaning anything. I just was really down. And so she told me I was depressed, so I started medication. So I think that's helped, but
Nice. See, you do know the next steps to take to create some semblance of safety for yourself. You went to see a therapist. Beautiful, beautiful work, right? Got yourself some medication. Amazing. Got on this call. Amazing. Give yourself credit for the work that you've done because you have evidence that you can take care of yourself. You have evidence that you can do these micro steps in order to create the life that feels better for you. Okay? It's the uncertainty of the future that feels threatening in a situation like this. It's the uncertainty of, all the things that you have to do, the overwhelm of all of the decisions to make. So you have to bring it down to what's my next step? What do I need to do tonight before I go to bed tonight? What do I need to do tomorrow in order to ensure my safety? Okay. Physical safety, emotional safety, financial safety. Does that feel less overwhelming when you pull it down into that just that next step?
It does, but I still need to do that step. So that's the part that's, yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, don't wait to be motivated to do it. Just do
Okay.
it. Be Nike, Brandy.
It's
Be
just very
Nike.
expensive, though. Attorneys are expensive.
So maybe that's not the first step. Maybe that's not the first decision. Maybe there's another decision that needs to be made first. It's up to you. It's up to you to decide what comes next, okay?
Okay.
If you have trouble, will you write to me and ask coaches?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You all right? That
Yeah.
help? Did that help?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right. I look forward to hearing from you. I'll be watching for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. See ya. Okay. I'll stay if y'all want me to. We got three more. Annette, let's see if we can get through these pretty quick. Annette, are you coming? Here she comes.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for doing this call. It's timely, especially talking about going into the new year with a positive attitude,
Safety.
safety.
That's the word, that's the buzzword tonight,
Yes,
right?
very, very much so. Safety is something that feeling safe is something I've always really struggled with. So that really hits me. I was also posted on the Facebook page. I was the one who said I'm going into 2026 with a feeling of dread. Probably it's something that I normally experience this time of year. I've never been one who enjoyed the New Year's turnover, perhaps because where I am right in this moment feels more safe than the unknown.
Does it
But
bother you
like,
when we go from like May to June or June to July?
no,
Right?
it's that,
Why do you make it feel different?
I guess it's because everything around me, the people around me, treat this time frame as a finale,
Okay.
like next year when we come back, it'll be, this thing, we'll be doing these new things or whatever it is. And
So, if you don't want to do that, you don't have to.
it's true, it's
I
true.
mean, there's some safety for you. Do you know, I have not stayed up until midnight on New Year's Eve for at least 15 years.
Wow,
I just don't do it. It's
you
just,
don't have it.
I have to remember, I'm still that girl who writes a check now and then. I have to remember what year it is to put it on my check.
Right. You don't have that fear of missing out, like you're not with everybody else. And
No, I've already told y'all I'm getting my pajamas after this call. What do you think follows that, right?
love it. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you get to treat it exactly how you want to treat it. And if this whole, I'm gonna make 2026 the best year ever doesn't resonate with you, just move from December to January and decide what you want January to be. Just like when you move from January to February, what am I going to study in February in that no BS? Oh, I bet it's going to be the second part of that START program. Doesn't
It's
that
just
feel better?
sort of it also feels kind of sad too. It's like, oh, it's just another month of 2025. I don't know.
What makes 2025 bad?
Well, I mean, like Liz, I'm dealing with some issues with grief. I had mentioned the Facebook page. Just found out some news about my dog that I'll potentially have to make decisions about in 2026, and So while I was ambivalent to begin with about the new year, then it kind of sent me into this spiral, and I ate like a whole carton of ice cream last night that I haven't done in a long time.
Let's think of it this way. If you had found this news out in July about your dog, you wouldn't have, I mean, it might be 2025, it might be 2026, right?
Yeah.
The year doesn't matter. It's who you want to be today and how you want to show up today to create tomorrow that matters. So when you think about your sweet pup, right? How do you want to show up today for that sweet puppy of yours? I have a client, she might even be on this call, who's dealing with the same thing. And I told her today, I said, I just want you to love that sweet puppy of yours and feel her love back for every day between now and when you have to make a decision about her.
Well, I bought him a sweater.
Right?
And so we're cuddled up. He's at my feet. He doesn't know. He's fine.
What he knows is the affection and the love he gets from you, right?
Yeah.
And he knows the affection and the love that he gives back to you.
Yeah. It's like you said at the first part of the call. Yeah, I know I can handle this because I've already had to do it, but it's the, I suppose I'm anticipating that it's going to change me. That I'm going to go through the grief again and that process. And I suppose I'm like, don't want to
Well,
do it, don't
yeah,
want to
what?
accept it.
Okay, so let's assume that you're going to go through the grief again. Okay? I mean, 'cause you're going to.
Yeah.
Is there a way you want to do it differently than last time?
I mean, it's so, don't want to do, well, I mean, it's just so raw.
Isn't it supposed to be?
Is it supposed to be? I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm single. I live on my own. This is who I come home and talk to, and cuddle with, tell all my issues to. So, yeah, just, I mean, I just go so low, and it's hard to control those, all those emotions.
So grief represents a pretty darn big change in our lives. And change, our brains don't like change. Our
Yeah.
brains like things to be easy. They like things to be pleasurable, and they don't want pain. That's our habit brain, motivational triad. Make it easy, seek pleasure, avoid pain. So when we throw grief into the mix, we are creating a big change that our brain has to reorganize around, has to get used to, has to adapt to. So, grief is hard, right? But we don't grieve things that we don't have affection for, right? If
Yeah.
that pup of yours drove you crazy, yip yapped all the time, and chase skunks into the house every day or whatever, grief probably wouldn't be so hard. Might be there a little bit, but it wouldn't be, it wouldn't be as deep.
Oh, he has his moments. He
Right?
hasn't done the
Well,
skunks, but
I often talk about you ever go to Walmart and there's, that guy there that hands you a buggy and says, "Welcome to Walmart." If he were to show up one or not show up one day because he had passed away, you might not grieve him. You might go, "Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
He's not here anymore. Where's my buggy?"
Yeah.
Right? So we grieve because we have attached a significant relationship to whatever it is we're grieving. And that's why, we actually honor the relationship and honor the stepdad or the dad or the pup or, the son or the daughter. That's why we honor them with our grief. We honor that relationship. We honor that love. We're allowed to feel both things at the same time. Okay. So what I would caution you against is, you're going to pre-grieve because you know it's coming. But don't let it take away the love that you have in the moment for that pup, that you can express in the moment for that pup. Don't let it get in the way. Feel it, but don't let it get in the way.
I guess that's the hard, to be present.
Well, you're still loving on him, aren't you? You're still feeding him. You bought him a
Yeah, but
sweater.
it also comes with a lot of crying
Yeah.
too.
Well, crying is healing. Crying is, just like I told Liz, crying is like that physical representation of the grief. And it actually is a bit cleansing. It helps to cry. Don't let anybody tell you, like we did when we were, everybody told us when we were growing up, don't cry. That's weak. No. Crying is strong. Crying is allowed. Crying is necessary. Okay? Because that's how it all comes together for you.
So it's okay to be not excited about going into 2026.
It's okay to not be excited about potentially losing your dog. Okay? But that has nothing to do with what you can create in 2026. Or maybe not a lot to do with what you can create in 2026.
Yeah, so I guess that's, how I've had some people at work say I walk around like with this dark cloud over my head. I told him I was going to dress up as a dark cloud for Halloween because I'm always like, rah, rah, rah. I would like if I were going to make a resolution, I would like to not be that person in 2026.
One
And
day at a time, my friend. One day
okay.
at a time. Okay. You're allowed to have that dark cloud when you're thinking about that pup. But maybe you can set the dark cloud on the table when you're doing something else. And don't attach it to an entire year.
Okay.
Just attach it where it belongs.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
You can dread all day long the day you're going to have to say goodbye to him. But don't dread the whole year.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Think I'm going to leave somebody else crying tonight. All right. Okay. Julie, last one. Let's see what you got. Hello. Oop, you need to unmute. Can you unmute?
Okay. I've never done this before.
Well, hello.
Hello. Are you ready for one more grief call before we end
Ooh, you're
2025?
wearing me out with the grief. No, that's all right. What you got?
Sorry.
It's all
Okay.
right.
So, okay. I joined No BS in August of 20, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience for me. It's helped me go through a lot of really tough times. Just an overview real quick, because I know we all want to get on with this call. But after 15 years, back in August 23rd, I lost my mom. About 10 months later, I lost my dad. And then 5 months after that, I lost one of my best friends unexpectedly.
and that was not his choice. I will say that. Now it's been one of those, not just waves, but waves and waves and waves and going up and down. The big issue that's probably hit me the hardest, and I think it's not necessarily a grief as much as it's an anticipatory grief for me, is my sister and I have been together for, I'm 56, she's 59. Excuse me. And she's going to be getting married next month. And so now she's going to be moving away. She's going to be moving about 3.5 hours north of here. And all of a sudden, for somebody that's always been, we've been the two Musketeers with our friends. It's like, Beth and Julie, Beth and Julie, Beth and Julie. And it rolls off the tongue. It's been a really hard time of transitioning of what that's going to look like. Because not only is she moving away, all of my immediate family is now lo no longer in the area. I've got wonderful friends, and that is the reason I'm staying here. But it's been a hard year, not only knowing that we have to sell this home because I can't really stay in it by myself. I'm looking at getting a new home this year. I lost my job in October. While I was interviewing, I had double pneumonia. It's been one thing after the next. So
You are one resilient woman.
it is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I am holding out for that.
That might be the definition of resilience,
It's just.
elasticity.
Oh my God. It's like I just start laughing sometimes, like, okay, whatever. I don't say what's next. I've stopped there.
No.
It's
You
been a
have
lot.
all the evidence that you can move forward through
And
hard times,
so
right?
it's been a lot. And I mean, my parents, losing them was expected. They were good endings. They lived good lives. We were there for them. We showed up. My sister and I were a tag team for them. We cared for them. We did our jobs really well as daughters, I believe. And they did too. So what I'm trying to do is like not through all of that, what I've been telling myself is I want to feel these feelings. It's going to be hard, but I want to feel the feelings. I don't want to stuff them down. I don't want to deal with them 20 years from now. I want to be present and get through it healthy in a healthy way. And it's been a lot. And now, like when I see people, they're like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "I'm fine." Moving into 2026, I guess I have a little bit different viewpoint of it. I don't want to drag this luggage along with me. The baggage of I lost this person and this person and this happened. It's like that's my story. That's been my experience, but it doesn't have to be my ongoing story. And it's always going to be part of my story, but I need to move on from that. And it's been incredibly difficult just trying to figure out how to separate our lives here. And then, like I said, I'm starting a new job on Monday. I'm making a bid on a new condo tomorrow. So I've got all of that coming up. The wedding is January 24th. And, I'm sitting here at this point, it's like listening to all these other callers, and one of the things you said is, how do you want to show up for yourself in 2026? And I think that's really the question. I want to figure out how I've done this, I've felt this, I know I've learned so much with no BS that I can have two different feelings at the same time. And God knows I've had at least 20. So I give myself that room and that room to breathe. How can you do you have any ideas on how I can feel that? And I know it's not something that's just going to be, flips the switch off and all these things go away. How can I feel it, continue to feel it, but not let it dominate my life, and how and not allow me to stall out? Because it's like, in my head, it's like the last couple of months, it's like, oh, the holidays are coming up again. And I don't, it's like now I feel like, okay, that's over. I made it through. It's like in this case, January is a whole new, I'm starting over. So
Okay.
It
And that's, it wasn't the color before your choice, but it can be yours, right? There's something important I want to point out here. You said, how can I leave all this behind? I don't know that you can. I don't know that you can whitewash 2025. But what I think you can do is feel your feelings and then create.
And that's where I'm at. 'Cause it's
And
like, I know I've come a long way. I know I've got a ways to go. And that's exactly what I want to know. It's like, how do I take that? Don't let it define me. Take the lessons I've learned, take the love that I've felt, and how do I move forward? And
I think
quite frankly, but rebuilding a whole new life, because it's starting over, in a lot of ways.
yes and no.
In a,
Because you're staying where you're staying, you've chosen to stay where you are because of the community that you've built around you.
Yes, I feel it's important for me to stay in somewhat stable environment right now, at least for a
And
while. It may not be forever, but for now, this is a good move.
you're doing an amazing job creating for yourself. You have a new job, you have a new condo. You're gonna have a new brother-in-law. You're gonna have a new member of the family, right? Well, he's probably already been a member of the family if he's been around, but you know. So I think to me it's semantics. It's how do you wanna speak it? All right. So you can say, I want to leave it all behind and start anew. Or you can say, I have the experience of 2025 that's gonna be a part of me for a while I create this new life in 2026, in which I have a new job, I have a new condo, I have a new brother-in-law, I'm staying with my community. So I think it becomes more of an easier, kind of like an easier transition. It's not like you have to learn anything from 2025. You know all the things, but it's also, like I said earlier, every day you live becomes a part of who you are today and what you create today. So if you dismiss any experience of the past, then you're dismissing part of the person that you've become. So you want to like glide with the experience of 2025 into 2026 in with this beautiful attitude you have about this life that you're going to build in 2026. So I think the question for you is, what do you want to create? Right? How do you want to stay uniquely Julie and create this life with this new job, this new condo, and this community that you love, that you want to support? That's how you kind of transition that. Does that make sense? Feels a lot to me. The words you use around something make all the difference in how you feel about it.
You're right, because that's I did use those words, and that's not how I feel, because everything I've gone through in the last couple of years, I'm like, I'm not leaving that behind. It has made me a different and stronger person. And it's like it's been some incredible life lessons that I'm not trying to hide or run from, but I want to take them with me in a healthy way. And I've already seen how it's like I'm able to help other people, kind of go through their stuff. So I like that. It's like, what do I want to create? I need to answer that question. So,
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how much I believe in a word of the year. Yours could be create or, something. I don't know. If just kind of keep yourself in that mode of, there's a lot of your brain is reorganizing to a lot of change, but you can actually lean into that and create every day, create the person that you want to be and the future that you want to have. You've already made some amazing decisions. When it comes down to it, right? If you think about it. But
Yes. I've
yeah.
come a long way. Got a ways to
Yeah.
go, but so I'm a work in progress.
No, we all are. We are all works in progress.
Anyway,
Does that help?
it does. It does. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. All
Well,
right.
all right.
Happy New Year. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging in. It was a long one tonight, but I wanted to make sure Betty was taken care of. All right. You know where to find me. I'm in the Ask Coaches. I'm in the Facebook group, all the things. So holler if any of us can help you. Okay. And thanks for being here. You guys take care and Happy New Year. All right. See ya.